Well, good morning and welcome to Harbor of Hope. If you're new around here, my name is Katie and I get to serve as the lead minister here at Harbor of Hope. What a gift to be together with you all this morning. We have been, over the last few weeks, working our way through a study on the different metaphors and images used in the Bible for the people of God, metaphors for the church. We talked about how we are, as the songs just sang about, we are children of God. We talked about last week what it means to be God's people, his set-apart people for a special purpose. And this week, we're going to talk about what it means that we, as the corporate body of Jesus, are called the body of Christ. So let me pray, and then we're going to dive right in. God, thank you so much that you brought each of us here this morning. Whether we're here in person or worshiping at home online, we are together, your people. And we do not take for granted the gift it is to be together, to gather, to be encouraged in our faith, to be challenged, and to be sent out to the world as your agents. So this morning, God, my prayer is that you'd help me get out of the way so that what you want said gets said this morning, that you will challenge us and encourage us as a community about what it means that we are the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll be this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you want to start flipping there, you can. The verses will be up on the screen as well. But in the time of Paul, who wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, Corinth was on its way to becoming one of the largest, most important cities in Greece. In Corinth, status was everything. You wanted to be at the top of the social structure or friends with someone who was, so they could bring you along in your social standing. The goal in life was to climb the ladder, accumulate more wealth, and make sure everyone else saw you do it. Is this sounding familiar at all? Do we resonate at all with this today in 21st century USA? In both the letters that we have from Paul to Corinth, so 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we see that they were struggling to kind of pull themselves away from the way that the world around them did life. Paul had to tell them to stop practicing sexual immorality, to stop treating rich people as though they were better than poor people, to stop valuing people according to the way that the world did. The Corinthian church was every bit as individualistic and materialistic as we might find the world around us today. They needed a reminder from Paul about who they were supposed to be as the church of Jesus. So Paul decided to remind the Corinthian church who they were supposed to be, and he thought he'd use a really common metaphor. He'd utilize a common rhetorical practice of comparing a physical body to a community of people. So Paul wasn't the first one to have this idea to compare a body of people to a physical body. That was common. He told the church in Corinth, "You are a body, not just any body. Corinthians, you are the body of Christ." So we see Paul use this metaphor of the body of Christ. The first time he wrote it was in 1 Corinthians, and then Romans, which he actually wrote after 1 Corinthians, though it comes earlier in our Bibles, he uses it again, and then again we see it in Ephesians. So he uses this metaphor a couple times in his writings. This morning, as we make our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to look at this metaphor for the church, and I want to see what we can learn about our community from what Paul said to Corinth. As we dive in this morning, we're going to consider two foundational truths about what it means that we are the body of Christ. We're going to read the scripture kind of as we go this morning because it's long and I want to connect as we go. So the first foundational truth that I want you to know about is that within the body of Christ, we are to experience both God-empowered or God-designed, Spirit-empowered unity. We're supposed to experience unity in the body of Christ, okay? And at the same time, we are supposed to experience God-designed, Spirit-empowered diversity. God designed it that way. We're supposed to experience unity and diversity within the body of Christ. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 3. I'm going to 4 through 13. And as I read this passage, it'll be up on the screen. There's two different colors of highlighting. One of the colors highlights every time that the focus is on the unity of the church. The other color is highlighting every time the focus is on the diversity within the church. So you can read it along in your Bible if you want, or if you want to read it up here on the screen, you'll see the highlighting I'm talking about. So pay attention to how often in the same passage Paul talks about the unity and the diversity of the church. So here's 4 through 13. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the utterance of the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or frees, and all were meant to drink of one Spirit. Do you see that? How often Paul is emphasizing both unity and diversity in the church as he's getting ready to tell them this metaphor of the body of Christ. Paul wants to make it crystal clear to the Corinthians that they belong to each other and that they're to live in unity as the church. Verse 13 said that in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Paul's saying that their entrance into God's family, which is signified with this baptism language, all the old labels of who we are have taken a backseat to who we are now. Instead of either proudly wearing a label that said wealthy or shamefully wearing a label that said poor, Paul says, you all just wear one label now, Jesus. He tells them that their baptism into Christ displaced the old labels, displaced the old priorities of identity. They're still there. They still matter. But their primary identity now is in Christ. So Paul wants to make sure that the Corinthian church knows that in the body of Christ, we are all one body. We're heading in the same direction, and it's towards Jesus. We all worship the same Savior. We believe the same gospel. We are baptized with the same baptism, have the same Spirit inside of us. We are all one. At the same time, Paul says, just because we're one doesn't mean we're all the same. Unity does not mean uniformity. So in these verses that we just read, Paul isn't trying to list every single gift God might give people. He's not providing an exhaustive list of all the potential spiritual gifts people can have. He's just trying to help the Corinthians see the many ways that God chooses to empower his people to accomplish his purposes through the church. He wants them to know that just as God desires them, designed them to be one in Christ, God designed them to be different in their gifting. Just as a body is one body, it's made up, though, of hundreds of parts that have unique purposes. In this long list that Paul gives to, he's also admonishing them. He's admonishing them for focusing on one or two kind of flashy spiritual gifts, like the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues, and they've been kind of holding them up as the most important spiritual gifts. Apparently, this was happening in Corinth. Since people were concerned with their status in Corinth, right, they wanted the best gifts. So the value in Corinth had become uniformity. Everyone being the same. Everyone having the same best, in big quotation marks, gifts. And so Paul's writing them to correct this bad theology. He wants them to know the church is supposed to be modeled after God. And in God, there is unity and there is diversity. The way Paul talks about God in this passage describes the diversity within God himself. Paul uses all these words, Spirit, Lord, and God, speaking of Father, Son, and Spirit, all to speak of the same one God. He's telling the Corinthians God is diversity within unity, and God designed the church to be the same way. You are not all supposed to be the same. That's not the way God designed it. In the body of Christ, there are many different ways to serve God. That's why he says in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Paul wants it to be very clear that the whole idea of different gifts for different people within the body of Christ was God's idea. It was God's idea, and that for the body to work well, it's dependent on the Spirit of God at work in the community. Without the Spirit of God, unity is awfully hard to come by. It doesn't work. Without the Spirit of God, we can't program the beautiful diversity that is supposed to exist within this unity that we have as the body of Christ. So the first truth that I want us to remember that about the body of Christ is that within the body of Christ, we are to experience both God-designed, Spirit-empowered unity and God-designed, Spirit-empowered diversity. The second truth about being the body of Christ is that the body of Christ is only healthy when all the parts work together. In the first part of this chapter that we've already read, Paul is trying to provide a theological understanding of how the body is supposed to function. He wants them to know that the body of Christ is diversity within unity by God's design and by the power of the Spirit, as we just said. In the second half of the chapter that we're going to read now, Paul wants to tell them practically why diversity within unity is important. So let's move on and read 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21 together. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. In this part of the chapter, Paul dives into two different sort of absurd hypothetical situations to correct the two ways the church of Corinth was thinking about the various spiritual gifts that exist in the body of Christ. Paul wants to make sure that the Corinthians don't just stop at an understanding that diversity within the body of Christ is a gift. He wants them to know that diversity is not the end in itself. The end goal of diversity within the body of Christ is the flourishing of a fully functioning body. The end goal of diversity is flourishing of the body. He wants the people to know that the body of Christ is only healthy when all the parts work together. That means that first, every part of the body of Christ needs to use their gift. Every single part needs to use their gift to help the whole body. In this first kind of absurd hypothetical, Paul asks if a foot can decide it doesn't want to be part of the body because it isn't a hand. Or if an ear can decide that it doesn't want to be part of the body because it isn't an eye. The obvious answer is no. Whether it wants to be or not, the foot belongs on the leg. Whether the ear wants to or not, it still belongs on the head. Feet and ears don't get to decide whether or not they want to be on the body. They just are. That's reality. It's fact. In the same way, Paul is saying, just because you feel like you don't belong doesn't mean you don't. The reality is, you are a part of the body of Christ. It's reality. It's fact. You belong. And besides, Paul says, can you imagine if the whole body were just an eye? This is from the Aquabats movie. That's creepy. It's not a body, it's a monster. If we want to have a healthy body, we have to have all the parts. It's not good for the body to all be the same. It wouldn't be good for us to all be the same. Paul's point is that diversity within the body is good. It's essential, in fact, for us to function healthily. We need all the variety of gifts that we bring. We need all of our diverse experiences of finding Jesus. We need all of our diverse stories of how we encounter God. All of these help the body to be well-rounded. all of your stories, all of your gifts will help the body to function effectively. And when any one part of the human body stops functioning, it hurts the whole body. Your brain can't just take a day off. Your intestine needs to keep doing its job. Pancreas can't go on vacation. If any part doesn't do its job, the whole body stops working right. And Paul wants us to know that that is how the body of Christ works. Every single part matters. Every single part has a job. It's not just the leaders of the church whose gifts matter. It's not just preaching and worship leading and those other upfront gifts that are needed in the church. God decides who gets what gifts. Verse 18 even tells us that God arranged the parts just how he wants them to be so that the body would function how it's supposed to. This is important. Harbor. If you are a part of the church, you have a job to do. You've been given gifts by God that he wants to use for the good of the community. You've been given gifts that God wants to use for the advancement of his kingdom. You are vitally important. If you attend Harbor, there is a reason that God brought you here. God brought you here for reasons beyond just your own growth. You have been placed here at Harbor. Yes, every one of you, all of you have been placed here at Harbor for a reason. There's something you have to bring the Harbor community that only you can bring. God has specifically given you particular gifts that the church needs. Without you exercising your gifts, we are not the fully functioning church we're supposed to be. Do you believe that? I want you to. You matter desperately. Verse 7 that we read earlier tells us clearly that the gifts God has given us aren't just for us. I love the way the Message paraphrase of the Bible says verse 7. It says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. My friends, you are a gift to your community. So share your gifts with us. Can I give you some homework this week? I haven't given homework yet. I've been here for a few months. Can I give you some homework? Would that be okay? Some of you may have grabbed on your way in a copy of a spiritual gifts assessment. If you haven't, there's more out in the cafe for you to take. I would really love to ask you to take the spiritual gifts test. This is just one tool, one website's way of doing a spiritual gifts assessment. Again, like just like Paul's letter was not a full list of all the possible gifts you could ever have, this doesn't tell you all the gifts you could ever have either. Like any other kind of personality assessment, it's one way of looking at who you are, okay? But if you're willing, I would love for you to take this assessment. I love utilizing tools like this to help figure out who people are and who God made them to be. So take one of these home, spend some time answering the questions, and see what your top spiritual gifts are. And I would love to talk to you about your spiritual gifts. If I can just give you one more piece of homework, it would be, can you email me what your top few gifts are? Sincerely, I would love to see that. I love talking with people about who they were made to be, what God wants you to do. I love to cheer people on as they go pursue being who it is God made them to be. That's who we're supposed to be as a community. So my email, I think, is up on the screen, katie@harboroughope.org. There's no E in Katie, so just watch for that when you email me. But please, take the assessment, send me an email. I love to talk to you more about your gifts. Because to be a healthy body here at Harbor of Hope, every single one of us needs to use our gifts. Related to that, Paul says, in order to be a healthy body, every part must value the other parts of the body. Every part must value the other parts of the body. In chapter 12, verses 21 through 24, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. on our unpresentable parts, which are treated with special modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. See, Paul has noticed this disturbing trend in the church at Corinth of aligning particular gifts with higher status in the church. He's noticed that they've let this Corinthian obsession with status creep into the fellowship of the church. They seem to have placed an inordinate emphasis on showy displays of spirituality. For them, that was especially gifts like prophecy, speaking in tongues. And the way these gifts and the people who possessed these gifts were being exalted was detrimental to the health of the body, detrimental to the unity of the church. And we see, that's why we have, by the way, all of the books in the New Testament, is because somebody was writing to the church to say, hey, stop doing that. That's why we have all of these. So Paul's writing to say, you don't respect each other, you're not unified. You don't share communion well. There's disorder in the gathering as those who are deemed most important grabbed for more airtime in the service. As I said earlier, this use of comparing a physical body to a community of people was pretty common in Paul's day. But usually, when people use that metaphor, it was used to urge subordinate members of society to stay in their place. Usually, the message of the story was, hey, foot, be happy being a foot. Just stay there. Don't cause a fuss. Just let the people who are the head, let the people who are the head have all of the honor that comes with being the head. Just stay in your place, okay? So when Paul starts talking about the body, I would bet that the people in the church who were treated as a higher status probably assumed Paul was going to reinforce the hierarchy of gifts, right? Because that's how this metaphor is used. Instead, Paul says, no, we don't do that. Paul says, in the church, there is a reversal of power structures, actually. Those who are weak are the most highly honored. For Paul, the reason for this is because weakness points to Jesus. Christ made himself weak. Christ humbled himself to death. So the weaker, less honorable members of the body actually point to Christ much better than the supposedly important ones. And since the Holy Spirit has given out spiritual gifts as he desires, since God arranged the parts of the body just as God chose, as in, there's nothing you or I did to receive the gifts we have, okay? You get that? God gave them to us. We didn't earn them. Since that's all true, there's no room for a superiority complex in the church. There's no room. All the parts are of equal value. And if you don't see the value in another person and their gifts, Paul's saying you need to adjust your perspective to match reality. The reality is that each person was gifted by God for a reason. If you don't see the need for another person or a particular gift, including your own, Paul says you need glasses. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Life Together, says it this way. In a Christian community, everything depends on whether each individual is an indispensable link in the chain. For the body to be healthy, not only does every part need to do its job, but all the parts have to see the values of the other, the value of the other gifts, the other people. And so here at Harbor, we value the contribution every single person has. That's why this morning, I don't know if you know this, if you have kids this morning, they are learning in their classes that they have a special story of what Jesus has done in their life and that their story matters. They're learning that in our kids' classroom this morning. It's why here at Harbor, we know that without our fit team, our new people would probably have a really hard time finding their way into our worship service. If you're new this morning, you can say amen. We meet in a basement. It's hard to find us. We need our fit team. Without our tech team, we would struggle to hear and see things that make it easier for us to worship together. We know that our prayer team is vital to the health of the church, even though you'll never see them doing their job. We thank God here at Harbor for our journey group leaders, our care team, our facilities team, because we know that without any of them, Harbor wouldn't be the same. Without them, Harbor would be missing something. Paul's exhorting the church in Corinth to pay attention to how they value each other, to realign themselves with the way that God sees each member of the body of Christ. Because for the body to be healthy, every part has to do its job. And we all have to value each other's parts. So to be the body of Christ means to experience God-designed, Spirit-empowered diversity within unity. To be the body of Christ means every part plays their unique role. So what then? What happens when the body functions like it's supposed to? When the body of Christ acts like it's supposed to, what happens? Well, Paul tells us in verses 25 and 26. He says, "Let all this happen, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Paul says that care for each other is what happens then. When we see that God has invited us into a unity that's marked with diversity, when we value the way God gifted us and gifted others, then we can appreciate each other in a deeply loving way. We can care for each other. When someone in our church is suffering, we all feel that suffering deeply with them. When someone in our church is celebrating, we all celebrate with them. Paul says that the sign of a healthy body is solidarity. And do you know what encourages me, Harbor? I see that around here. I see how here at Harbor, we've been working on what it means to be a church that's for our whole community, regardless of our ethnicity. That's why we've watched documentaries, read books, and asked questions to try and understand what we don't know about the continuing impacts of racism. That's solidarity. I've watched you cheer on other parents who are struggling, sending scripture and encouraging notes. That's solidarity. I've seen you celebrate each other's wins as your wins. When someone gets a promotion, you celebrate with them. When someone lands a new job or buys a new home, you cheer them on, even if it means we won't see them around anymore. That's solidarity. Actually, before I even moved here to Massachusetts, I experienced the gift of Harbor's solidarity. My dad died the same day I received the offer from the elders to come and be your lead pastor. And you all came around me, even from across the country. You sent flowers to the funeral. You mailed cards saying you were praying for me. You sent gift cards for food in case I didn't feel like cooking. You sent me a text or an email to say you were thinking of me. You prayed for me before I was even one of you. That's solidarity. What a gift to be a part of a community like this, where we celebrate that we are truly united in Christ, where we celebrate, too, the different ways that God made each of us, where every single one of us feels valued, where every one of us uses our God-given gifts for the good of each other. I'm so grateful for the ways I see this here at work already, and for the ways I know that God will keep helping us grow as a part of the body of Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift it is to be a part of the body of Christ. Thank you for the gift it is to experience unity when our most important identity is found in you. And thank you too, God, for the ways you've made us different, with different gifts, different ethnicities, different countries of origin, different family situations, different jobs, different personalities. What a gift to be a part of a body that is so different and so united. We need your help. We need your Spirit to be a church like that. And so, God, we beg that your Spirit would come. Continue to dwell in us. Continue to make us one. Help us love and value each other, not according to whatever the world says about our value, but according to the way you have made us. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.